morning is U.S. versus Algeria versus Salon, Algeria Salon. Mr. Cook.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Frank Cook. I was appointed to represent Mr. Saldana at the district court level. I was his second attorney at the district court level. His first attorney was from the Federal Defender's Office there, and she was actually the inspiration for the motion he filed with regard to challenging his original deportation. To be honest, I've been accepting appointments for 25 years. I've had a couple of these cases in the past. I was just really not aware that there could be this kind of a challenge to it. And once I took a look at what she had done, I thought in Mr. Saldana's particular situation that it was probably a well-based motion. My concerns, as was hers, had to do with the fact that Mr. Saldana was ultimately deported on the basis of a Illinois possession conviction related to drugs. It was deemed a felony. And the immigration court at that time perceived that particular felony as one that would constitute an aggravated felony for purposes of immigration law. And as a result, the immigration judge determined that he had committed an aggravated felony and that therefore he should be deported and that he should basically go straight to Mexico without passing go. As we know, after that decision, the U.S. Supreme Court decided in Lopez that state possessory felonies did not constitute aggravated felonies for purposes of the immigration law. And therefore, in that case, you know, the basis for the conclusion by the court in Mr. Saldana's case ultimately proved to be an erroneous understanding of the law. Now, he was represented at that hearing by an attorney who did challenge the aggravated felony concept to some extent. Mr. Saldana had never discussed his case with that attorney. The only time he ever saw that attorney was during the course of the video deportation hearing. At the end of the hearing, after the judge determined that he was had committed an aggravated felony, the judge briefly discussed the ability of Mr. Saldana to appeal his decision. And at that time, his attorney indicated that he wanted to reserve the right to appeal. And the IJ briefly discussed what was involved with that, and Mr. Saldana agreed.
Forgive me, did he ever notify the federal defender that he was asserting this ineffective assistance claim?
Did Mr. Saldana?
Yeah,
I believe that was her basic theory here was that the attorney he had at the immigration hearing or at the deportation hearing had dropped the ball entirely, was ineffective, and
did he notify the attorney registration of his
Mr. Saldana or the federal defender?
No, anyone.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, did he put any of the Lozada factors?
In terms of challenging the
this he didn't, did he even consider his claim? I mean,
that he had to contacted attorney registration and so forth. You know? I'm unaware of how that impacted on this, but essentially he did nothing. And that was never contested by the government in this case. From after the hearing, he never had any communication with Mr. Saldana. and Mr. Saldana never indicated to him, as a consequence, Mr. Saldana never indicated to him that he had no interest in pursuing an appeal. So as a result,
there were contacts between the federal defender and your client, but your client never indicated he wanted to pursue it.
Any complaints with the attorney registration?
No, the appeal.
My client was interested in pursuing the appeal, yes.
Right. Did he communicate that to the federal defender?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Even if you win on this failure to explain the appeal, although I thought the IJ made a decent record, how can we be sure that judicial review would have provided him with relief from deportation when he was deportable on two grounds, the other being a crime related to a controlled substance?
I appreciate that, Your Honor, as a problem. That would, I believe, go to the prejudice component, the third aspect of the collateral challenge. And my ultimate assessment of things is he is exactly in the same situation that Mr. Lopez was in. I mean, they were charged similarly. I believe Mr. Lopez was out of Chicago, too. I think he may even have the same judge as immigration judge as did Mr. Saldana. And ultimately, he enjoyed success with the Supreme Court, and I assume some benefit from that. And that would be what I would submit as the prejudice here, is we can point to somebody else who is in the exact same situation that enjoyed success. And the reason he did, the reason the other person did, was that his attorney followed through on the appeal and followed through on everything related to the case. And the same is true, I believe, in the Ockham decision, that this court decided with regard to whether or not the possessory felony constituted an aggravated felony. That individual was referred to the district court on a habeas corpus petition, and the court found that he was entitled to seek discretionary relief from the Attorney General and was probably relatively well qualified for that. So it seems that people that were in the same boat as Mr. Saldana and had an attorney or pursued it on their own initiative, fared considerably better than he did, and he found himself, like I said, on a fast train to Mexico.
I may have misunderstood what you said. Mr. Saldana contacted the federal defender who had represented him at this proceeding and said he wanted to appeal.
His federal defender was not who represented him at the immigration hearing.
All right.
Okay.
When did the federal defender get involved?
After Mr. Saldana came back into the country and was charged with...
That was unrelated. Okay.
Okay. I see my initial time is up.
May it please the Court, my name is Scott Paganini and I represent the United States. Your Honors, the District Court correctly denied the defendant's motion to dismiss because the District Court correctly determined that the defendant failed to establish any of the 1326D requirements, those being that the defendant failed to exhaust any administrative remedies, that the defendant failed to show that his deportation hearing deprived him of judicial review, that defendant failed to show that his deportation order was fundamentally unfair. What the defendant did do, however, is illegally re-enter the United States. And whatever wrong the defendant believes was done to him, the one option that was not available to him was the right to break the law. As Your Honors have noted, in this case, Mr. Saldana and his counsel were informed of his right to appeal. neither of them proceeded with that avenue. The federal defender's office was not involved in the immigration proceeding. The federal defender's office got involved after Mr. Saldana was indicted in the Kern case. And it was actually Ms. Carpenter of the federal defender's office that is the one that obtained the transcript from the immigration proceeding. Unless this court has any other questions with regard to judicial review or fundamental fairness, I would ask that the court affirm the district court's denial of the defendant's motion to dismiss.
Thank you. Mr. Cook? How much time? You have 1 minute, Mr. Cook.
I know one of the things that the U.S. attorney has argued is that this idea that Mr. Saldana should have been pursuing all these legal avenues on his own initiative. There is a reason why people employ attorneys, and that's usually because they find themselves confronting legal circumstances that they feel incapable or incapable of handling on their own. In Mr. Saldana's case, that's why an attorney was hired for him. He had every right to expect that attorney to follow through on behalf of him in connection with these matters, and that attorney failed to do so, all to his detriment. I would ask that the decision of the lower court be reversed and the case remanded.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Thanks to both counsel. Case is taken under advisement.